Hello and welcome to Root Causes, the PKI and security podcast, where a couple industry veterans talk about all matters PKI, including encryption, digital certificates, hashing algorithms, and things along those lines. I am Tim Callen, senior fellow at Sigtigo, and I am joined by Jason Sirocco, CTO of IoT at Sigtigo. This is episode 26. How are you doing, Jay?
Doing great, Tim. But I am wondering how long we're going to have before it'll be time that the government decides that we're not allowed to keep secrets.
Right. Maybe we won't be doing great after all. That's correct. So I have in front of me a June 27, 2019 article in Politico magazine written by Eric Geller, where there is a description of the current White House's desire to make encryption that they cannot break into something that is illegal, essentially. They want to put something in place that they can access encrypted communications and prevent end-to-end encryption.
We've seen this before. We've talked about this on this podcast. Similar type of legislation being proposed up in Australia.
Right.
I know that the UK has been talking about this since David Cameron. So this is not new amongst Western countries. However, it is fairly new in the United States to be talking about end-to-end encryption. It has bubbled up before. It's kind of died quietly, but now it's back.
Yeah, and this always strikes me as a weird one. This has been a theme for decades. And ultimately, it seems that these lawmakers, just at a basic level, don't understand how this stuff actually works.
You've been hearing about things like watering down encryption.
Right.
Those are some of the wordings that at least I read in the journalism. You know, that may come from the legislation, people who make the legislation themselves. Those kinds of terminologies don't make any sense whatsoever. And as we described in the Australia podcast, yeah, you know, at the time it was Malcolm Turnbull who was trying to break the laws of physics. And so therefore, the people who make the laws are typically not the experts in this subject.
Yeah. And so like, exactly, water down the encryption. Well, okay. Once the encryption is watered down, you're not the only person who's going to be able to open that door, right? Your enemy states are going to be open that door. Powerful criminal enterprises are going to be able to open that door. You know, and one of the things that we've learned, like for instance, when the MD5 algorithm was broken back in the 2000s, was people were surprised. They thought it wasn't crunchable. And these researchers just bought a bunch of PlayStations and daisy chained them together and used the processors and cracked it. So, you know, this, you can't water down your encryption. Like, fundamentally, that just isn't a sensible phrase.
It's not a sensible phrase. And in fact, this is why I wish the discourse on this subject, if you're going to have a reasonable discourse on the subject, let's keep it reality based, which is, are we talking about a front door, which is based on some kind of warrant system?
Right.
Or is it a backdoor based on a flaw? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, for those of us in the business, and anybody listening to this podcast probably would agree, what is it that the government could potentially be asking for here? And this is, we're not seeing the details of it yet, but unfortunately the devil is in the details. And until we get more of that, it's causing a lot of confusion and maybe minor panic amongst people who were very close to it in the industry.
Yeah. So let's define our terms a little. So by backdoor, I think we mean that there is some way, certainly without the consent and probably without the knowledge of the services that are using this encryption, that somebody can go and essentially sneak in and get the decrypted information. But that essentially means they have to have your keys. That's just how these things work. So basically, we're talking about some scenario where you have to share your keys, like with the government. Who's that with? With the FBI? Who are you giving your keys to? As opposed to a front door, which I think is a little more defined, right? This is what we do all the time. It's the warrant system. So I go to a judge, I demonstrate to the judge according to whatever criteria are required that I have valid law enforcement reason to know this, and then the warrant is issued, and this is done for wiretaps and entry into domiciles and various other things. And there is, of course, it's evolving because technology is evolving, but there is, you know, more than 200 years of constitutional scrutiny of this in the United States and similar kind of timeframes in other Western countries. And so it feels like it's a lot more regulated and a lot more, scrutinized.
To bring it up a notch, unfortunately, it becomes more of a political subject than a technical subject, but we have to name the names. Are we talking about mass surveillance? Or are we talking about good old-fashioned policing? And good old-fashioned policing is, hey, I have a suspicion that something bad is happening, and I want to be able to get access to that communication that may be happening between those two parties or whatever the case happens to be. And that, you know, if something could be proven in front of a judge, hey, I've got some sort of reasonable understanding that there's something bad going on here, and that can be proven to a judge, and the warrant gets signed off, you know, there maybe could be technical mechanisms, you know, to be able to open that front door and do what the police need to do. But otherwise, the question then becomes, are we talking about just merely the government has access to everything, which opens the door to mass surveillance, essentially?
Right. And to abuse, right? So who among us is not aware of an occasion where an overzealous government employee or law enforcement employee has used their power in a way that ultimately was determined to be inappropriate? And so if you're going to give that power and that decision-making to law enforcement in mass, you know, what's the over-under on how long it takes for that to happen? Because I bet it's pretty small, and pretty much any number you give me, I'm taking the under. So, you know, that is what happens. It's lots of individuals, and they have different viewpoints, and they want what they want. And if you give them all an opening, one of those individuals is going to take it.
There's a lot of reasons why we have checks and balances in government. We could turn this into all of a sudden a legal podcast all of a sudden, right, Tim. And I'm not a lawyer. I don't think you are. But the thing is, the way that Western governments has been set up over the past, you know, 100, 200 years, some old laws that might not be convenient currently for law enforcement, they're there for good reasons. I hate to say it. They're there for very good reasons. And they're there to protect the citizens. The thing is, the flip side is, and this is where I think some of this legislation is being proposed and the reasons, the real nut behind it is, there's some really bad people out there.
Right.
And some of those really bad people are using some of these technologies to obviously hide their communications.
Right.
But my grandfather was a policeman back in the 1950s. And I'll tell you what, you know, back in those days, it was just good old fashioned, get out the shoe leather and do your job as a policeman. And I don't think things are any different today. Some of the arguments that I've heard are, you know, some of these mass shootings that we've heard about that are incredibly unfortunate.
Right.
Could some of these things have been detected ahead of time due to communications being intercepted? Well, the question becomes, if there were specific bad people identified by police ahead of time and a warrant system being used, obviously maybe a front door system would be handy in that situation. But is the government saying, hey, there's been a mass shooting, it's a bad thing, therefore we should have mass surveillance for all of our society? That's it's an entirely different question.
Right. And San Bernardino was a real flashpoint on this one, right? Because terrible thing, people went and shot a bunch of innocents who didn't deserve it. And then there was a question about, are there others involved? And are the others planning on doing the same thing? And there was this iPhone that needed to be unlocked, and the owner was dead, and he was the only person who knew the unlock code. And now we came down to this thing, should Apple unlock this iPhone? And Apple said, no effing way. And I think their point, which I agree with, is once we give the government the ability to unlock somebody's iPhone, how many iPhones get unlocked? And we can't do that. And it's not that we're cavalier about people who might potentially be shot, but we still can't do that. You know, and that was essentially their position. And I think they were right.
Where does it end?
Yeah. Right?
So in other words, I can absolutely see people who abuse children, the mass shooting cases, and there's all kinds of other bad people out there doing bad things that police are going after. And that's a good thing that the police are going after them. But I really think, though, that from a technology standpoint, we got to be a lot more careful about how people, especially in positions of high government that have a lot of power and have the ability to propose legislation, that when they're floating their air balloons of, hey, yeah, we need to get rid of end-to-end encryption, well, you better be careful about what you really mean when you say that.
Yeah, and this is, I think, an important point too, right, is you can propose legislation, but what happens when the legislation you're proposing can't practically be done without consequences that none of us would consider to be acceptable? So eliminate end-to-end encryption. Let's suppose that that were passed into law by the United States Congress. Okay, so if I'm a major bank and I want to stand up a website and put an SSL certificate on it and you want to access it from a popular browser, guess what? That's end-to-end encryption. So is that illegal? And in the event that that is illegal, what, you've taken away my ability to bank online? Really?
Yeah. Oh, this is something we talked about before, Tim.
Yeah.
One of the reasons we can do commerce on the internet is because of encryption.
Yeah.
And thank goodness for it. And for governments to, as they call it, water it down,
right,
isn't going to help anyone. And it's definitely not going to help the economy. Which I think, Tim, if we back it up, what's the likelihood of this? And this gets into the, you know, prognostication part of this podcast, yeah, because, you know, what will really happen here? I don't know what your opinion is, Tim. You can share it with me. But I think in terms of the United States, and I think the same is true in Canada, because of the fact that we actually have privacy laws, we have freedom of speech laws in these countries that are codified strongly within a constitution.
Right.
It's really, really tough to be able to just write legislation that is contrary to that. You can absolutely shake the tree and see what falls out and get people, you know, get awareness out there. That's part of the normal political process. I think it's going to be a lot more of a possibility in countries where freedom of speech aren't as tightly codified.
Right.
And I'm pointing to England and Australia and New Zealand, the other three of the Five Eyes.
Right. Well, let alone a Turkey or a China.
Well, they already have technical challenges to overcome as citizens, right? I mean, with the firewalls, et cetera. I mean, I was in countries not that long ago, I won't even name them, where, you know, I couldn't browse to certain websites, and they were fairly normal, average websites, and they were completely banned. And then I realized, oh yeah, I'm not in Kansas anymore.
That's right. Yeah. So I think so. But even then, again, what do you do? And I've harped on this in the past, but when government tries to pass laws about technology that fundamentally don't work, because it's not how the technology works, what happens? So let's say hypothetically that this law passed. I'm the CISO for a major bank. I'm not going to turn off my SSL certificates. Among other things, I can't, because I'll be in violation of federal regulations if I do. So once I do that, theoretically, I'm in violation of the law. Theoretically, my company could be fined.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And Tim, you and I as private citizens, even though we live in two different countries, you and I might want to communicate in a secure means.
Yes.
You and I are both quite aware of just pure open source software that's out there that isn't going away anytime soon.
Yeah.
That we can use to encrypt our communications together.
Right.
Are we in breach of the law by doing
that? Can I be arrested?
Exactly.
Right. Exactly. And it's absurd. And it seems absurd. But on the other hand, why is government proposing laws that are this absurd?
The question becomes, do they understand how absurd this is?
They don't.
Or is this just a trial balloon to see, you know, what the boundaries of what they can pull off are, which is, again, I think that's a normal part of the political process. And I give them credit for trying. It's just, I think in the United States that actually has a strong constitution. And I think in the laws of physics and the laws of the reality of what's out there for people,
laws of math,
the laws of just common sense of, my goodness, you know, the ability for you and I to be able to protect our communications between each other is there if you have the means and the know-how. Stopping that with legislation won't necessarily stop that in terms of the what the bad guys will be able to do as well. And that's something that the legislation, people who are proposing this legislation also need to understand, is that you might take away, maybe your goal at a very high level is to stop the big tech companies, you know, the big social media outlets, you know, Facebook, Google, you know, you could rhyme off Apple, you could rhyme off a bunch of them. If the goal is to not allow end-to-end encryption within specific messaging systems that those big social media companies right. might use, that's very short-sighted because yes. of the fact that there are so many other means to encrypt your communication.
Yeah. Let's just go to the next one. I mean, and the people especially who will go to the next one will be the terrorists and the career criminals, right? They'll go to the next one with trivial ease, and it'll be everybody else who's just trying to talk to grandma who's going to get kicked in the teeth.
I bet you tonight I could write a very poorly written but somewhat working steganography software that you and I could use this evening. And, you know, will that become illegal? I strike that. That doesn't even exist. Let's make sure they don't even hear that word.
Right. And by the way, yes, if you are playing bingo, go ahead and mark your card for steganography, because that is the first time we've used that on this podcast, I'm pretty sure.
Might be.
So we're in vehement agreement on this one. And I think we both just shake our heads at the absurdity and short-sightedness of it. And once again, as always, I have to laugh every time government tries to get involved in technology at what a pitiful job they do. But yikes, you know, and in our increasingly aggressive political climate, I don't like to politicize on this podcast, but in our increasingly aggressive political climate, I think there is less likelihood that the people who are making laws will check their behavior because they think that it doesn't make sense. And so that makes these things probably more important than they would have been even 40 years ago.
To be dead honest with you, you know, the ability for police to do their job hasn't really changed. Yes, there are technologies out there that hide certain forms of communication. But ultimately, I really think that breaking in the shoe leather is right. still a good way of doing things. And the police have their ways.
And it doesn't matter. It's the only way. The other way is not a real thing. It's not something you can actually create and execute. It doesn't really exist. It's not a plan. So since the other alternative is not a plan anyway, then what law enforcement needs is they need a plan that's actually a plan.
That is the conclusion, Tim. That is the conclusion of this podcast. It's before you start sprouting off all kinds of these, you know, I love that term I read, watering down encryption. What the heck does that mean, Tim?
Yes. Yeah. Mark your bingo card on that one too, folks. So government, White House, Congress, various parliaments around the world, listen to Jason and me. We know what we're talking about. So that's root causes. Thank you very much, Jay.
Thank you so much, Tim.